Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 21, Matthew chapter 21. Y'all know the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, amen? Shouldn't be strange to anyone, even almost everybody knows that story, even lost people know that story. God put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he said, you can eat from any tree you want except this one. And what kind of tree was that, Pastor? I don't know. I do not believe it was an apple tree because I don't think that tree exists anymore. It doesn't matter. The fact is God said you can eat from any tree you want. Think of all the trees that make fruit. And in the garden, there were no weeds and there were no pests. There was no fruit fly. There were no birds stealing the fruit, I don't think. And so in the garden, you could have the best peaches, the best apples, the best oranges, the best lemons, and it would have been perfect fruit. And there was plenty to eat. By the way, you can get distracted with this. Back in those days, before man sinned, man was a vegetarian. I'm not saying you and I should be. I've got a big roast in a crock pot right now that says, please don't be a vegetarian. Amen? And so we're going to go home and eat that thing. But back in those days, they only ate fruit, and there was plenty of it, and they were satisfied. They should have been anyway. But the devil came and said, what gives God the right to keep you from having something that's good? He said, have you seen this? This will make you wise. God's keeping this from you. In other words, don't pay attention to what God says. Just do what you want to do. Folks, that's called ignoring authority or rejecting authority. I want you to know something. Authority comes from God. Amen. Today, when people go out and break into a store in the middle of the night and they throw some big object through the window and run inside and take all the material for sale and steal it. It's called looting or vandalizing. That's not protesting. That's called lawlessness. So why would they be that way? Because the devil likes it when men are lawless. God's the one that established law. And the Bible says we sort of obey the law of the land. In fact, if you can read it after church today, Romans 13 says that all that authority that the land has, that the government has, that the police have, it all comes from God. God established law and order. And so just with that little thought, come back. We're in Matthew chapter 21. And there are some men in this chapter, and they are important men. At least they're important in their eyes and in the eyes of many of the people. They're called chief. They're chief priests. They're the best of the priests and the most authoritative. And they can tell the other priests what to do. And they're in control. And they like being in control. And they come to Jesus and they say, what gives you the right? Where did you get your authority to do the things that you do? What gives you the right, for example, to come into the temple and drive out the money changers, which he did? And we remember, we're in the last week. This is the week of the crucifixion. And let's see, where are we here? This is August. Now we're probably going to get to the crucifixion before March, Lord willing. And but anyway, this is the week of the crucifixion, and he came in and he drove all the money changers out. Now, don't answer out loud, but ask yourself, why did he do that? Because he said God's house is supposed to be a house of prayer, and you people have made it a den of thieves. And they were selling and cheating people, and God didn't want that. So Jesus drove them out because he said, my house should be a house of prayer. So now these people come to him and say, what gives you the right to do this? What gives you the right to come into the temple and teach? Well, I just want to answer the question. The answer to that question is, he's God. That gives him the right. People today, well, what gives you the right to say that homosexuality is a sin? Or what gives you the right to say that we should do this or do that or not do this or not do that? First of all, I'm not the one that said it. I didn't sit down and write the laws out. I didn't write the Bible. Amen? God wrote the Bible. God gave us as Christians and pastors and teachers, he gave us the responsibility to tell people what the Bible says. Now, there are sadly too many people today that stand up and tell you what they think and pretend it's the Bible. So when you hear something and you don't know if it's true or not, look right in here. Ought to be here somewhere, amen? If it's important, it's in here. Amen. So this passage today is about authority. And let me ask you to turn, if you haven't done so yet, to Matthew 21. Stand for the reading of God's Word. And we're going to look at verses 23 through 27. 23 through 27, and we'll have a word of prayer. Matthew 21, 23, the Bible says, "And when he," that's Jesus, "when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, 'By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?' Jesus answered and said unto them, 'I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things.'" Now Jesus asked them the question. He says, "The baptism of John, whence was it? Where did it come from? From heaven or of men?" They reasoned with themselves, saying, "If we shall say from heaven, he'll say to us, 'Why did you not then believe him?' But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet." And they answered Jesus and said, "We cannot tell." And he said unto them, "Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning for those that are here. Lord, it's so easy for us to read this passage and think we understand it and we can see what's happening. But God, I'd ask you this morning that your Holy Spirit would allow us to see not just what's happening in this passage, but what's happening in our lives. Are we willing to accept your authority? And let us understand, first of all, that it is your authority. That's where it comes from. And let us understand today that you do have a will, a desire, something that you want us to do and some things you might want us not to do. Help us most of all to each one understand today that we come here in your presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died to pay for our sins. And it is what he did on the cross, his shed blood, that covers our sins. There's nothing we have that can cover them. No baptism, no church membership, no good works. Amen. Help us to understand that the blood of Christ is what can cleanse us from all sin. And that if one here today would trust him, that they too could have their sins forgiven. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so Jesus comes to the temple and he's teaching, and he's already cast out the money changers and the chief priests and the elders. And we have some elders here, amen? Elder Mendez, no. The office of the elder in the Bible, there's a time that word means pastor. It doesn't mean it in this passage. These are just fellows that have been around a while, and they have authority due to the fact that they've been around a while. And it's good, by the way, to listen to folks older than you. And all the parents said, amen. You know, I've learned some things in life, and Brother Mendez has learned some things in life, and Brother Gonzalez, he's an old fellow, right? Yeah. Brother Leo, I'm not going to name everybody, but speak for yourself. But we've learned things from the Bible and from our lives, and we might have some thoughts that could help you live an easier life. But have you ever thought about the fact God has some teaching that can help you to live a better life? Amen? Someone says, "Well, I just want to do what I want to do." That's what every four-year-old on earth believes. Now, if you have a four-year-old, I don't know who's got four-year-olds here, but if you have a four-year-old and you let them do everything they want to do, you got a problem. Because here's the problem. Four-year-olds that do what they want to do grow up to be 18-year-olds that do what they want to do. And that's one of the problems in our nation today, is people are afraid to teach their children to respect authority. Amen? And you know, you say, "Well, I don't want to go to the trouble." Let them find their own way in the world. I'll tell you what you do. Take them out into the desert and let them find their own way home. You say, "Pastor, they would die." Exactly. There's things out there that can hurt them, aren't there? And if you don't take care of them and protect them, they may assume they know how to do some things. Probably all of us, somewhere along the way, have seen a child almost get hit by a car, run out in heading towards traffic, and you stop them just in time. One of the scariest things I ever saw in my life. We were at church in Utah, into the church service, and our building had it was really a bad design, but it wasn't intentional. There was a place that the building was right next to a driveway, and there was a sidewalk that led right up to that driveway and then across it, but you couldn't see the cars coming from the right until you were there looking around the corner of the building. And my daughter, Stephanie, at that time was probably about 2 or 3, just old enough to run fast, and she took off running down that sidewalk. And the first thing I thought was, and it was fast, it happened just in a moment, oh no, what if a car is coming? And one was. And she ran into the side of it. It got there before she did. And talk about scaring you to death. I mean, you say, Pastor, you're a bad parent. I don't know. My wife should have been there. I don't know. But here comes the car, and she runs into the side of the car. I told her to stop, but it didn't do any good. She didn't listen. She just kept going. Some of us, God's saying to us, stop, but we're not listening to God, we're just going to keep going. Some people are foolish enough, like these men, to say in verse 23, by what authority? Who gives you the right to tell me what to do? The short answer here is, Jesus created you. He has a right to tell you what to do. Amen. But the better answer is, He's telling you what to do because He doesn't want you to suffer. God didn't come up with a bunch of rules so that you and I would live a miserable life. You ever dealt with a meth addict? I have. I can just tell you this, it's horrible. It's horrible. It's indescribable. Don't ever even think about it. Young people that are here, I'm going to use a bad word. Some idiot is going to come to you and say, wow, this is really good stuff. Try this. I've seen what happens after that. It's bad. You want to pick at your face until it bleeds, or you want to be afraid of everything around you. You want to be so addicted that all you can think about is getting some more, and you don't mind stealing or hurting somebody to do it. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Go to one of these rehab. We ought to have a field trip sometime. Maybe not, but one of the rehab places here in town. It's terrible. Anybody here work in those kind of environments? Whew. God says don't do that. Somebody says, well, what gives God the right to tell me what to do? And they ruin their life. Amen? Oh, there's other things. I could go on all day. You know, the fact of the matter is, most of us here, the teenagers have not yet, but most of us here have made some choices in life. And looking back, we realize that probably wasn't God's will. And we regret doing those things. God is not making rules to keep you from being happy. That's what the devil told Eve. Amen. He said, have you seen this fruit? It'll make you wise. You will know good and evil. You will be like God. God's keeping something from you. I can guarantee you that just like Adam and Eve suffered after that, and by the way, all the suffering you see in the world started right there. All the death you see in the world started right there. But nobody would have ever died if they hadn't done that. That's where it began. The devil lied. Can you believe that? So this is not going to take long today, but it's kind of exciting. I hope I can help you understand the passage, and God will help me understand it a little bit better. Go look at Matthew chapter 21, and let's see a couple of things here. The question is, why don't people, and a better question is, why don't you and I sometimes... But why don't people accept the authority of God? Why don't people accept His authority? The first thing here is kind of obvious. It's in verse 24. Jesus answered and said unto them, I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. And then if you look in verse 25, he says, and I'm just going to paraphrase it, where did the baptism of John come from? From heaven or from men? Now, the interesting thing is, the same question that they asked Jesus, the answer to that question is the same question He asked them. In other words, they ask Him, what gives you the authority? And He asked them, well, if you'll answer my question, I'll tell you. What gave John the authority? What gave John the authority? Who did give John the authority to baptize? Don't answer out loud, but do you know? God. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. I think that's how he begins. Where is that? I forgot where that is now. Don't worry about it. Anyway, it's Bible. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this man, John, did what he did because God told him to. Amen. Pastor, what gives you the right to stand up and say that I need to be saved? Jesus said this. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. This is Jesus' word. If you reject what's in here, you reject him. Someone says, oh, I accept Jesus, but I don't want to live by the Bible. Doesn't work that way. If you accept Jesus, you accept what he wants in your life. It would be sort of like me saying, oh, I'm going to obey the police, but I'm not going to obey the law. The law is not the police's idea. The law is the law. Folks, Jesus is God. Amen. And he's got a right to tell us what to do. So he says, where did this baptism come from? From heaven or from men? The first thing you're going to have to do is understand something. The things this Bible teaches, they came from God. So when God says, it's a shame for a man to have long hair, won't get into the details, that's from God. When the Bible says we ought to all, men marry men, women marry, or men marry women, women marry men, that's from God. God created them male and female, that's from God. It's a shame for a man to lie with a woman, that's from God, right? It's all from God. And I just picked and chose those at random. I'm not thinking about anybody or anything, and I don't know if anybody here fits any of those categories, but I will tell you this, whatever's in here, sooner or later, you'll find a category that fits you, won't you? There's one category. The Bible says there's certain things we should think about, certain things we shouldn't think about. That's in the Bible. The Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. That's in the Bible. The Bible tells us thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal. That's in the Bible. But you got to understand, it's from God is where it comes from. Now, the second thing you got to understand if you're going to obey God, and this is where it starts to break down even worse. It's one thing to say, I can open the Bible and read it and see for myself, and that's good. But the second thing you got to understand is God delegates authority. Now, you can see it right here in the passage. He says, what about John the Baptist? Where did he get his authority? How come he could baptize? John was doing some things that John didn't have authority to do, except God gave him that authority. Well, you say, that's great. I like John the Baptist. We haven't got a problem yet. Then let me explain some things to you. God gave the government some authority. Yes, he did. Amen. God gave police authority. Back in the day, in the 60s, I would say, it wasn't unusual to hear a message preached about how policemen were called of God. Now, you say, well, they're not nice. They're nicer than you think. I know there's bad people in every profession. There's bad pastors. But, you know, there's bad doctors, so then don't ever go to the doctor again, right? There's bad medicine, so don't ever take medicine again. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. The fact that there's somebody bad in a profession doesn't mean the profession is bad. That's a lie of the devil. God delegates authority. Now, those to whom he delegates need to use it wisely. I get very nervous preaching about this because I don't want to toot my own horn, but what I'm telling you is God delegates authority to pastors. Now, I'm not trying to make a big deal out of this, and anybody that I work with will tell you, I go out of my way to listen to people, to try to cooperate with them. If they've got a good idea, I'm open. Amen? I don't come in and say, now, this is the way we're going to do it. If you don't like it, tough bananas. I don't do that. But at the same time, I've got the authority to say yes and have the authority to say no. Someone says, Pastor, our church ought to have some wicked group come in and give us a workshop. No, we only allow people to teach here that believe the Bible. And I don't want to get too deep into that. You get the idea that God, somebody's got to be in charge. If you'd like to be in charge, come see me. I'll help you out. Amen? Brother Mendez, you want to take a week off and let somebody else be the administrator? Amen. Amen. You can make the rules, and you can talk to the parents and all that good stuff. No, God delegates authority. He delegates it to the pastor. Oh, it's going to get hard now. He delegates it to the parents. Twice the Bible says, children, obey your parents. Amen. And all the parents said, amen. Well, If you're a child and you say, I don't like what my parents said, take it up with God. He's the one that put them in authority over you. God gave you the parents you have, by the way. Now, most of the children that I know that are here would say, thank God for my parents. Amen? God delegates authority. Now, here's the third thing, and I'll be done quick here. The first thing that will keep you from listening to and cooperating with God's authority is not recognizing who's talking to you. It's God that established these rules. It's God's the one that has a will for your life. It's God's the one that said, thou shalt and thou shalt not. God is the one that established the way that we should talk and the way that we should behave and so on, and even the way we should dress and such. That's number one. God's the authority. Number two, God delegates that authority. Now, the third thing that will get us in trouble, and you watch this. This is kind of interesting, the way it applies. He asks the question in verse 25. The baptism of John, he says, whence was it? Where did it come from heaven or of men? Now, I've already told you, and the Bible makes it very clear, it came from heaven. They got a problem. They sat there and they reasoned with themselves. I do not know if they stopped and had a council. I don't know if he said, hey, you know what? If we say this, he's going to say this. I don't know what was going on there, but they reasoned. They were examining the situation. They said, if we say from heaven, he's going to say, why didn't you believe him? Because they all went to the wilderness and they saw John preach. And John said, guess what John said? You need to be baptized as a symbol, a picture, a proof that you have repented of your sins. Baptism does not save you. Baptism shows what you've already done. And the chief priests and the Pharisees, they weren't about to submit to that. No, they were in charge. We're going to be the boss. Nobody's going to tell us what to do. And they turned around and went home and didn't get baptized. And they didn't listen to follow John. They didn't even like John. And they disagreed with him and they left. Well, if they were to say the baptism of John was from heaven, then the question is, well, why didn't you listen to him then? That still applies today, folks. If this book is from heaven, why don't we listen to it? Amen? Amen. Then the second thing is, they say, but in verse 26, if you're there, if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. So they said, if we denounce John and say, oh, John made that up, it was his idea, that didn't come from God. You may understand that a prophet in the Bible is giving words that God gave him. He speaks the word of God. You know, you can still do that to some extent. You can still tell somebody what the Bible says. And what you're doing is you're telling them what God said. And in that sense, you're prophesying. I'm not saying you're prophets. And, you know, no, you're not a prophet. The prophets in the Old Testament, every word they said came true. They never, ever gave a false prophecy. But if the people knew John was a prophet and they recognized him as such, so if the chief priests started to say, nah, he was a fake, now the people are going to be mad at them. In fact, in both cases, either way they go, they lose. If they say John was from heaven, and then the question would be, well, why didn't you follow him? The people would be going, if he's from heaven, why didn't they do what John said to do? And if they say he's not from heaven, then the question is going to be, well, then why do they say that? Because we know John was from God. There's no way they can answer this question and win. Folks, there's no way you can disobey God and win. There's no way you can deny his authority and win. So the first problem is not knowing that God is the authority. The second problem is not realizing he delegates that authority. And the third problem is this, giving men more authority than God has. In other words, looking at what men think rather than what God says. We had some men in our church. They went out, I think it was last Tuesday, and they knocked on some doors. And they said on several occasions, people were very unhappy they were there. What gives you the right to come to my door? Oh, we're all going to die of a virus. Yeah, come on. You can't come to my door and tell me about Christ. Who do you think you are? I'm just a representative of God, an ambassador. And the men didn't like what they did. But I can tell you this, they'll do it again. Because they don't listen to men, they listen to God. Amen. You're going to have to decide who to listen to in your life. Are you going to listen to God or are you going to listen to men? Now, everybody would say, oh, Pastor, I'll listen to God. Let me ask you this. Will you listen to God when your friends want to tell you a wicked story that's ungodly? Or will you say to them, I can't listen to this. This dishonors my God. When you hear somebody curse God, do you put up with it? Or do you walk away from it or say something about it? Well, I don't want to offend anybody. Look, Jesus offended a lot of people. Not on purpose, but just telling the truth. Amen? When somebody says, like right now, what's happening in our nation is there's a movement to literally make it a civil right to commit wicked sins that the Bible says are wrong. At some point in time, churches like ours will be in a position, if the Lord doesn't come back by then, that if we preach certain parts of the Bible, we're going to be eligible to be arrested for hate speech, they call it. Folks, this book is not hate speech. It's just the opposite. And if I read you a verse out of this book that says a certain sin is wrong, but the people all think it's right, and they come and arrest me, I'd a lot rather please God than man. They say, well, Pastor, that would never happen. It already has. There's certain nations, Canada, for example, where certain things cannot be preached without making you eligible for arrest. And praise God, the preachers up there keep on preaching it. Amen. And you say, well, that could never happen here. Oh, no. What about in California where you can't sing anymore? What does the Bible say? Come before his presence with singing. Now you got a problem, don't you? Not great examples, but some examples. Here's the bottom line. When you and I choose to dress or look a certain way, do we think what would God be pleased with, or do we think what would men be pleased with? Amen. When you and I choose to talk a certain way, choose not to say something about Jesus when we should, are we trying to please God, or are we trying to please men? When you and I go to a family gathering, and the family gathering, something comes up, and you need to tell them about Jesus, do we talk and please God, or do we keep quiet and please men? I've told you this story, and it was not the happiest day of my life, but I don't know if I want to get into this or not. We had a Thanksgiving gathering back in the 1990s, and we had some family there, and a certain family member wanted to read The Night Before Christmas. Now, I don't know where you stand on Santa Claus. I just want to say that the plain fact is Christmas is about Christ and not about Santa Claus. Okay? And Christmas is about, it's interesting to me that Jesus knows what you are thinking. He knows when you're sleeping. Jesus knows when you're awake. Jesus knows if you've been bad or good. Why do they sing that song about somebody else? Because there's nobody else except Jesus that can do that. And Santa Claus is not Jesus, if you didn't understand that. So I said, I really want to teach my kids about Santa Claus. I've kept it quiet, and I'm going to keep doing so. Ooh, not a popular thought. But who are you going to please, God or man? Amen? Amen. I guarantee you, I'm not trying to hurt their feelings. There are young people here today, and they're wearing what they wear because they think some other young person will be impressed with it. And that's okay to some extent. But shouldn't we wonder what God's impressed with? Amen. Amen? Shouldn't we dress to please God? I don't know why I picked dress. There's lots of things. Bottom line is this. If you worry what men think, which is what they did, you're not going to be able to do what God said. Because if you and I do what God said, sooner or later, men are going to get unhappy about it. Probably sooner. All, the Bible says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So this story, and we're way ahead of schedule today. We're going to be out by noon. This story is not just about something that happened in the temple 2,000 years ago. This story is about you and I. Because we have to make the same decisions that they had to make. Who is Jesus to you? Oh, he's a great guy. He died for my sins. Maybe you might even go that far. No, he's God. In fact, if you study it, the first time he drove the money changers out of the temple back at the beginning of his ministry, he said his father's house ought to be a house of prayer. The last time he said my house ought to be a house of prayer. In John, there was a man that came to Jesus and he said to him, he said, if we could see the Father, we would be happy. That'd be everything we'd ever want, just to see the Father. You know how Jesus answered him? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, you shouldn't even ask the question. If you've ever wondered what God is like, I wonder what God is like. You know, he's kind of a mystical and in this. No, you want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. Amen. John chapter 1 and verse 14. He was manifest in the flesh. Hebrews chapter 1. He is the express image of God. In other words, he's the picture of God in flesh. Now, I'm almost done. If you have been saved, a point in time came to where you did a couple of things. You said to yourself and you said to God, I know I have violated your authority. I've broken your law. I've done what you said not to do. I've not done what you said to do. It's called sin. And you had to understand you were a sinner in order to be saved. The Bible is very clear about that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then you need to understand something. And I'm going to change the sequence here for your benefit. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says that he became sin for us. Nobody else ever did that for you. Buddha didn't do that. Allah, or not, Muhammad didn't do that. None of the characters that you hear about did that. Jesus did that. He died and became sin for you. And then the Bible says this, the wages of sin is death. And at the end of the Bible, in the Revelation, it says death and hell are cast into a lake of fire. In Luke chapter 16, a rich man that died without Jesus lift up his eyes in hell, being tormented in this flame. You may not believe it, but if you're not saved, one day you'll see it with your own eyes. Hell's real. Amen. In fact, those of us that are saved will in some sense know about it because we're going to see people cast into hell one day. But here's the best part of all. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What's a gift? Something you get that you didn't pay for, you didn't earn, you might not even deserve it. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift from God to you. How do you get it? You receive it. Amen. Romans 10, chapter 10 says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. What you believe about Jesus determines whether or not you can be righteous. And then the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ask him to save you. Jesus, I know you can. I know you died for me. I need to be saved. I'm a sinner. Would you come into my heart and be my Savior? Say, Pastor, it can't be that easy. It's right here. Amen. Over and over and over, by the way. Someone says, well, such and such a church says you have to be baptized. It's not in the Bible. This is the authority, amen? Amen. Someone says, well, such and such a church says that if you sin after you're saved, you can lose your salvation. Not in the Bible. I don't know where they got that. They didn't get it here. Someone says, well, Pastor, someone such as a church says you got to try as hard as you can and you got to be good and then you can go to heaven. That's not in the Bible. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. This is our authority, amen? Came from God. Every bit of it. The parts you understand, the parts you don't understand. The parts you agree with, the parts you don't agree with. The parts you believe, the parts you don't believe. It doesn't matter. It all came from God. And he has a right to tell us what to do. And he does that because he loves us. Amen. And it's kind of sad to think about it, but people that are running away from him or ignoring him, they're in a dangerous place in several ways. One of them is when you try and live life without God, you're going to mess it up. Last night and the night before, these folks in the corner back here, for those of you that don't know, I didn't mean to do this, but Jake won't mind. He's a brave fellow. He was in my youth group 25 years ago. One of the only ones that listened. I'm kidding. But one of the few that listened. And I'm not going to tell any stories. I promise I won't tell any stories. He and I spent a lot of time together. And we never did get around to telling the story about the drunk guy we were witnessing to. To this evening? Okay. No, I'll tell it right now because they want to know. Some can't come back tonight. Jake would go visiting with me on Thursday nights. We did it in Utah. And we went out every Thursday night. We go out here every Tuesday night. You can come out. Amen. Jake came out as a teenager. I'd pick him up every Thursday. A teenager that went on visitation every week. We've got some here that go quite often. But he went with me. And we went to an apartment complex. Did you start talking first or did I? I can't remember. Yeah, but before that, I knock on the door and a fella came to the door and it was obvious there was a party going on in this apartment and the fella just immediately started telling me how he could not stand Mormons. They're always Mormons this, Mormons that. And I couldn't get a word in edgewise and he talked for about 30 seconds. He was angry. When he stopped talking, I said, we're not Mormons. Oh, now he's angry too. So we kind of got him calmed down. And about that time, Jake, a fella comes out of the apartment and he was very inebriated. And we're on the second or third level. It was a fatal fall if you'd have fallen off the balcony. And this fella comes out. I'm talking to the first man. He's talking to the other one. And this other guy's drunk and not listening, and he's mad too. And the first fellow and I finally got to kind of a place where we were happy with each other. And we look over, and I told the first fellow, I said, I better save my friend. I think your friend's about to throw him off the balcony. And I can't remember how exactly it went from there, but Jake's here tonight, so today, so he didn't get thrown off the balcony. And I don't think anybody got saved that night, but they heard the gospel. And you know why Jake didn't get thrown off the balcony? It's not because of me, it's because of God. Amen. He went out and did what God told him to do, and God took care of him. And so he and I were talking this last couple of days about people we used to know that are no longer in church. Some of them have done horrible things, and their life is a wreck. And some of them have just had a bad life because they made some decisions that they didn't ask God about, and it got them in trouble. Right. But folks, God can take care of you if you'll let him. He can direct your life. He can choose your occupation. He can choose your spouse. He can tell you how to raise your children. He can tell you what to do and not to do so you won't destroy your life. He's a good authority. I hope you listen to him. And if you're here today and you're not saved, I hope you'll let us take a Bible and show you how to find Christ as your Savior. Let's all stand and pray.